stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined by Zach's ETF strategist, Eric Dutrum, who is in his last Market Edge podcast, I'm afraid to say, because he's leaving us to go on to new endeavors, but of course he has to make an appearance here on the Market Edge before he leaves. And making his podcast debut is Zach's podcast producer, Danny McPherson, who's always here in the studio with me and the other guests, but you've never heard him until today. And you're hearing him because we're here to talk about how millennials can start investing. This is kind of a hot topic now because the stock markets are at new all-time highs. And I know a lot of millennials have been out there kind of observing these new highs in stocks and wondering how they can start investing. And I'm not really talking about trading here. I'm talking more on the investing side. And they want to be in stocks and ETF, but, you know, how do they do it? What's out there? What kind of new applications and programs and plans are out there? Because I know there are some new ones. And first, I'd like to say, contrary to popular belief, you don't need a ton of money to start investing. So if you are a millennial and you're out there thinking, no, I don't have, you know, $500, $1,000, $5,000 to put into stocks or ETFs, don't worry, because over the last 20 years or so, the investment community has made it really easy and cheap to just start investing, to open up an account. And you can actually invest now with as little as, like, I want to say, like a dollar. You can go as low as a dollar. You can also do recurring investments as low as, you know, $20 a month, $50 a month, whatever you feel you can afford to do. And I know that doesn't sound like much because it didn't sound like much to me almost 20 years ago now when I started kind of doing this type of investing, the reoccurring kind of throw your spare change into it and type of investing. And it really does add up. Like all of those $20 or, you know, $50 a month you do, suddenly you turn around and there's quite a bit of money in that account. May not seem like it, but it does add up. So Eric, I wanted to jump in kind of right away with one I know you have been doing for a while, speaking of investing and how it adds up. And that is one of the interesting phone apps that you can do now, which is acorns.com. And Acorns has an interesting little kind of way to lure you in because it literally invests your spare change. I mean, their heading when you go to their website says automatically invest spare change. So what it does is every time you purchase something, it rounds up to the next dollar. Is that right?
Yeah. So basically, let's say you spend $3.50 on something at Walgreens or whatever. So it's going to take another 50 cents and put it in this Acorns account. So then, you know, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but you think about all the times you use your debit card or your credit card over the course of a month, and that's really going to add up over time, especially if you make, say, 20 transactions in a given month. You can also throw in a couple extra bucks on a daily or weekly basis. I actually do that. I throw in $7 a week.
Wow.
And then, you know, I do the...
wait, how did you get to $7? How did you decide that?
Well, it's $7 a week, 7 days in a week, you know?
So a little bit of
so $1 a day, I kind of see. Like, okay.
Yeah. I figured, oh, you know, $1 a day and add that to the, you know, the roundups. And I actually started this in January as a, you know, one of those New Year resolution type things. I'm up to about $600.
And, wow.
You know, that's not bad considering not really doing anything. And I would have done basically all the debit card and credit card transactions. You know, I didn't do anything different in that regard. And $7 a week, you don't notice that at all. So
right.
I really like it because it's one of those things you just set it and forget it. And I hadn't looked at it in a couple months. And I was like, oh, wow, $600. Not bad for doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
you know, I can get used to that.
You definitely turned me on to that. And it was a no-brainer. It takes the thought process out of the whole idea. Like you said, you don't see it at all. So at the end of the month, even doing my expense report and seeing how much money was coming out, I didn't really see the difference, you know, by dollars. But when you look at your account at the end of the month, you're like, wow, I have $100 in my account. Now I can go do X amount with that. I take it and I actually invest it. So I go ahead and turn it around. And like you said, you keep it in your account. I actually move it into my investing account so that...
Okay, so wait, you don't put it into the ETF portfolios that they have on Acorns?
They do go in there automatically. That's okay. Just how the program works. But I go ahead and feel that I can, right now, with the way the market is, invest it more wisely on my own.
Wow, he's advanced.
Well, he's
putting me to shame right here. I'm a little embarrassed now.
I will say I am fresh out of the box as an investor. We're talking months, so I'm very novice at this whole thing, but I guess seeing the market and the way it moves so dramatically in an upward trend right now, it's hard to stay out of it and watch from the sidelines. It's a little too compelling,
yeah,
if I have to say.
So do you also do, Danny, do you do the same thing Eric does and put a little bit extra in, or are you only relying on your credit and debit transactions to feed the account?
For the most part, it's strictly just coming out of my debit transactions.
Okay.
I have put money when I first started, but like I said, I started to steer more towards my traditional investing account. It's more or less a way for me to mindlessly take money and put it away and not think about it. Because it is hard for a young person not making a ton of money.
Right.
And to say, oh, I have to put, you know, X amount aside. It really gets in your head and you really start crunching numbers. And I think that kind of pushes people away from investing in general. That the mindless thought totally kind of helps out a lot.
Yeah. And if you're wondering, you know, for the non-Danny experts out there, people like myself, you might be saying, hey, well, what the heck does this actually invest in?
Right.
And it basically takes 5 ETFs that are very low cost from Vanguard. And Vanguard is known for being among the lowest cost ETF providers out there. And for example, I use the aggressive one, and it has VB, which is a small cap fund, VWO, which is emerging markets, VNQ, which is real estate, VEA, which is a developed market international fund, and then VOO as well, and that's just a broad market large cap ETF. So you get a pretty diversified exposure. If you're more of a conservative investor, you're going to get a little less in the small caps and a little less in the emerging markets. But
I saw that they have a conservative, a real conservative one that's 80% bonds.
Yeah.
If you want to go into that.
Well, I know you're a huge fan of bonds.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No. I did look at the aggressive one just to kind of see what they put in there, but I didn't realize it was in Vanguard funds because they don't really reveal that on the homepage.
Yeah, I don't really understand why they don't. You sort of have to dig through and...
Well, maybe because they think you're going to go just open up a Vanguard one on your own.
Yeah, maybe.
Why go through them if you can just get it? I don't know.
Yeah.
That is a question, right? But this way does accumulate your spare change, which Vanguard doesn't do.
Right, and it costs $1 a month for this. And then once you get past $5,000 in your account, I think it costs 25 basis points a year for fees.
Which they say is if you have the $5,000, it's $12.50.
And I'd be curious if a lot of people do have that much money in their account, like what the demographic is.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Most people, you know,
they're not telling us, but it does add up fast, as we've said.
Yeah, very fast.
Now, they do, as we were just mentioning, this, you can do these reoccurring amounts if you want more than just rounding up to the nearest dollar on your transactions, because some of the complaints I saw online about it was that the fees are still really expensive. So say if you're only doing 50 transactions a month, you're paying them, like, it's something like, if you're do an average of like 25 cents of the roundup, so you're at 75 and you're going up to the dollar, it's like an 8% monthly fee for the dollar that you're paying because you're not doing enough transactions. It really only starts to make some sense if you start to do either a lot of transactions or the monthly or the daily recurring one, like an extra dollar or something like that, then those transactions costs come down a bit.
Okay.
But otherwise, if you're like me and you're not charging everything, then this kind of plan doesn't really make any sense.
Well, you gotta join the modern world, Tracy.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I had cash in my pocket.
I know, you guys are the cashless. But if there's ever a national disaster of some sort, or I'm in a hurricane like they are in,
we'll
in
know who to the rob, Caribbean. I guess.
Well, I'll at least have the cash on hand, unlike you people. So yeah, acorns.com, interesting one and very popular with a lot of people. Obviously, both of you guys here are doing it. But another one that I was looking at is called Stash, and it's stashinvest.com. And this one kind of also seems similar, but it doesn't do the spare change. You can set up, you know, like a reoccurring trade to go in there. It's also a dollar a month plus the 25 basis points on accounts over 5,000. So they match that, same as Acorns. And they have ETFs that kind of target, instead of the conservative do aggressive kind of thing, they target, you know, if you're an activist investor, then you can have the money go into this portfolio that invests in clean energy stocks and that kind of thing, and good environmental companies. They have a techie one. They have a Globetrotter one, which invests in like airlines and hotels. They have a Trendsetter, which is social media and entertainment. So this one, it seems like Eric is trying to target a little bit more of people who, not necessarily spare change, but who don't know what they really want to invest in, but have these interests like, oh, I might want to invest in some tech stocks. And this is another low cost, relatively low cost way to get into it. And they also offer Roth IRA accounts, which you can start with as low as $50. So that's a little different too.
And to me, it's, and I'm going to use an ETF buzzword here, of thematic investing. And that really seems to be what they're going for is, and we've seen a big trend of a lot of these funds launch over the last couple of years where, oh, you know, I like this area. How do I invest in it? And it seems like Stash is doing a really great job of giving people plenty of options in that regard. For example, I'm looking at their page right now. They have a clean and green one, and that's targeting, you know, clean energy stocks. Obviously, they got EQLT, which, you know, focuses more on equal rights for various people and companies that are good in that regard. So it's really great if you have a specific idea in mind of, I want to support this type of company or I want this type of exposure. And I think the Acorns is better if you're just kind of like, I just want a broad market exposure and I just want to forget it even exists.
Right. What about this third one, Motif? I know you brought that one up. It's motifinvesting.com, Eric, and this is portfolios. They also have trading and IPOs. You can get into IPOs there. But this kind of seems similar. I looked at the portfolio side because that's kind of what we're trying to emphasize among all these. And they also had these thematic portfolios that were pre-made. But it's like good corporate behavior. They had that one. They had an environmental one. But this one costs more and it has a bigger minimum. It looks like a $1,000 minimum requirement to do Motif, plus it's $9.95 a month. So I'm not sure what the draw is for me to want to do this one, except it's a bigger platform.
So this is for more the Dannys of the world who are super advanced, where you should think of it as you're building your own ETF, and you can say, okay, I want these 30 companies, I believe it's 30 is the max, in my own fund, if you will. And you can decide, okay, I want 7% in Twitter. I want 3.5% in small caps. And you can basically build your own fund. And I think that's the benefit is you get, it's like a build your own ETF product. And to do that in a, you know, on your own is going to be prohibitively expensive. So I think that's really the focus here. They do have a lot of different, they call them motifs, and that's their thematic investing strategies. So you can also take a look at some of those as well, but it's a way to build ETFs in a different way, and I think that's really the focus. It's more for the Dannys of the world. So I'd like to see what you think about it.
I mean, I think that we've gone from beginner level to advanced at this point.
That's more advanced.
I mean, I didn't start buying any individual stocks for months. I sat on the sidelines and watched. It took a lot of time to do the research and to find the patterns and to really give it the time. And that's the hardest part for most people. They don't have the time to sit there and watch anything, you know, stock market and the prices moving and the news coming out. You know, they miss their opportunities, whatever it may be. And then they're chasing, trying to get into a stock. So it's hard for me to I guess, advertise that as a good idea for most people if they're looking to get into just intermediate investing and not creating their own ETF portfolio. It sounds like a bit much at that point. I almost would say to just get your own investing account and start in that fashion.
Okay, let's talk about that, because that's what you ended up doing. You had the Acorns, right, Danny? And then you had your own investment account. If you don't mind me asking, where did you go to get your investing account? Because there's a lot of choices. You could do E-Trade, TD Ameritrade, Schwab.
Yeah, and the price change definitely was the enticing part. Recently, everybody pretty much dropped to about $5, and that is dirt
cheap. That's per trade,
per trade, yes, per trade. I ended up going with Schwab strictly based on a quick search, kind of went to see what was a good beginner account. I think there was a few that came up, E-Trade, Fidelity, but Schwab, the name itself kind of just holds a little bit of a meaning, you know, to the financial world. It's a name you know. It's kind of down to that. I didn't really put too much thought into it. Again, it was $5 for the trades. It was, you know, on the cheaper end. So at that point, I just kind of chose one, went with it. I have been happy. There has been times with their support, like their mobile and stuff, but nothing that I've been like, oh, I got to turn around and go back, you know, to somewhere else. But so it wasn't too big of a decision.
Okay. And I did notice that they do have a minimum there, I believe. I believe it's $1,000 minimum to open a brokerage account.
Correct, yeah.
And then E-Trade is a $500 minimum to do the brokerage. And neither one of those does any kind of automatic investings, like the mindless kind of investing, I call it, at least not on stocks and ETFs. I think you can do mutual funds automatically over there, but not on the stocks and ETFs. And one company that does do, that's a little more advanced, that does do the automatics on the stocks and ETFs is Capital One Investing, which is owned by Capital One Financial Corp. And that's the one that I used to do back in the day, because they have bought the ShareBuilder plan, which is what they call it now. But ShareBuilder used to do kind of what Stash does now, just not on your phone, only on your desktop back in the day. And it allows you to do for almost, you know, whatever amount you want per month on these automatic, either weekly or monthly investments. For now, they're charging $3.95 per investment in their same. They do still have the ShareBuilder plan over there, and that's on a reoccurring schedule. And then if you sell, you have to pay the usual selling costs like you would at anywhere else, like a Schwab or E-Trade. And that's also to do kind of the mindless investing, but you are picking your own ETFs and stocks over there. So it's a little more advanced, again, than what you get with Acorns or even Stash in some ways. So, but Eric, you do the old ShareBuilder too, don't you?
I'm a huge fan of ShareBuilder. I think I started doing it in 2009, 2010.
And
I've kept it up pretty much since then. And I'm actually grandfathered into some other plan. Where like $12.
Yes,
for
I was just gonna mention that, because I looked on their website outside of my own account on there, and I was like, "What are the fees?" And I saw the $3.95, and I'm like, "Well, don't they have the Advantage plan like I have or whatever? That's like $12 a month, and then you can do up to like six of the transactions on there, or depending on what your plan is, there's a certain number. I think there's an unlimited one too, if you really wanted to go crazy. But I did conclude that it must be because I'm grandfathered into that, because I already had an original ShareBuilder plan through the old company, that they don't really offer that anymore. But I was thinking, oh, $3.95 a month, you still have to do, if you're doing four a month, that's equivalent to like $12 I'm paying. So it's still... And it takes a lot to do four or more transactions every month, I feel. But what do you like about it, Eric? Because you're a millennial using it. I'm a Gen X. But I like the ease and convenience of it.
Yeah, it's the same reason I like the Acorns thing. And it's that set it and forget it methodology of I'm going to pick a couple stocks or ETFs. And generally, I look at it once a year. And I, you know, maybe make some readjustments here and there. But try and do a very high risk ETF portfolio and then do one or two stocks each year. And, you know, I have, I think, small caps in there right now, a spinoff ETF, and then a biotech ETF. But my idea is, and it's the same thing I've been saying about Acorns, is when you get to a point where you don't even notice it's going out of your account, and then you look at this account at the end of the year and you're like, hey, this is pretty great. I kind of like this. So that's where I think the benefit comes in, is you're getting this dollar cost averaging system in a very easy way, and you don't have to remember to do it every whatever week or month or quarter or whatever it is. And I think that forced buying and that that regimen of doing this over and over is really the key that is so tough for, I think, a lot of people to remember to do on a regular basis. And I think that's really the benefit of all these types of services.
Yeah, it takes the emotions out of it too, to some extent, because even if you get a stock sell-off, you're buying when it goes lower and you're buying automatically without really thinking about it. So that's where the dollar cost averaging part comes in. And so I always like that. And it reinvests your dividends for you.
Exactly. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. And so that's all real nice. And they have new programs that figure out your cost basis and all this stuff for tax purposes, because it gets a little messy when you're buying every month into individual stocks.
Do not forget Uncle Sam.
Yeah. Yeah. So they do real well now. They used to make you figure it out like way back in the day. And that was like a nightmare.
Yeah.
So that wasn't good. But now that's all included. One other thing with the shareholder plan too, you can switch it off. Like, so if you're going along and then you're like, I have, you know, some extra expenses this month and I just don't want to put whatever amount I've normally put in there, you can switch it off. There's no problem. They still, at least in my plan, they'll charge me the fee still for the month. But they do send me reminders even like, hey, you might need to turn that back on now after like a month of not doing it. They want you to do it again. Yeah. So you can also do retirement accounts in there, which I have one small retirement account that I fund in there too, because it's just a monthly thing. And that's real easy to do too. So I still like the Capital One investing, but I can see the lure of something like the Acorns, because that's just, you know, just extra money sitting around as long as you have enough transactions to make it worthwhile.
Yeah. And it seems like all of these services are kind of geared towards different types of investors. It seems like, you know, like me, I kind of like to go individual, create my own. Eric seems to like to kind of just put it away and not look at it. And that's great, because there are a million types of investors out there who want to invest, but they don't know how. So giving them these options is making it easier and less conscious of actually doing that, you know, and pulling that trigger. So I think this is all great, and it's only going to get better from here for the individual investor going forward.
And I think, Danny, you'll probably agree with this, that when you're a new investor, the hardest part is starting. And once you get past that hurdle, it becomes a whole lot easier.
Yeah, and it almost becomes a bit of an addiction if you watch it.
Stockholders Anonymous?
Yeah, a little bit. No, but yeah, you can definitely find yourself, I don't know, it's its own beast. It has its mind of its own. So beware, you know, don't jump in with both feet. Definitely get your feet or your toes wet before you kind of go swimming, and it's a beast. So be careful, everybody.
Yeah. Is there any charge to transfer the money out of the Acorns into the Schwab account? Do they charge you for that?
No. Okay. They just do the dollar fee.
Okay.
I've checked my account. I've looked into their agreements. There's no charges.
I just wondered if there was something if you're transferring.
No, I think that would defer me from actually using their service.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody is like me, though, who uses their service and kind of is more or less using it for the mindless money taking out of my account. So I don't have to do it, which is
almost like a piggy bank for you.
Yeah, it is. But it's nice because, again, the whole thought process is gone. Kind of like Eric, he likes to take it, but I like to put my hand in the cookie jar. So,
okay. If you're interested in investing in any of these companies that are kind of in these cutting edge, a lot of these apps type ones we were talking about are privately held. So nobody's bought them out yet that I know of. They're getting a lot of private equity money right now, but you can't buy those stocks. But you can buy Capital One Investing, which does the share builder. That ticker is COF. And then, of course, there's E-Trade. That's been a hot stock recently. Some insiders buying over there. That ticker is ETFC. And then you have Schwab, which is SCHW. Is there any others that I'm missing, Eric, that are like public? No.
Can't really think of any. No.
That are like on the trading kind of side.
Yeah.
But you can also, you know, obviously check out any of the ETFs that are in some of these funds. Like Eric was saying, Vanguard is in those Acorns ETFs, and you can check out some of those. He mentioned VB, VEA, VOO. Those are all in the aggressive one.
Right.
And you can also, Vanguard has the bond funds and all of that. I don't have the tickers handy, but you can check out those because I'm not a big bond fan, as everyone knows. So just don't know those. But yeah, be sure to check into all of these. Oh, wait, one we forgot to mention, the Robinhood. That's a little bit of a separate thing. I feel like that's more of a trading.
Yeah, it really is.
App, it's right, Danny?
Free trading.
You're nodding.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you ever go on StockTwits, it's kind of riddled with a lot of people hating on Robinhood because they are all are trading on a daily basis. And a lot of them seem to do it on very low volume. So I think that it is a totally different thing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, me too. So if you're interested in investing, forget that one. Just go with some of these ones we just mentioned and set up an account. They make it really easy. Now, you know, a couple of them are on their phones, automatically on the phones. Some you can do either on your laptop or your iPad and or on the phone too to sign up for the accounts, and it's easy, almost no minimum. Some of these, a few did have a little bit of minimums, but a lot don't have any, just got to start. So that's kind of key. And remember to sign up to subscribe to all of our podcasts so that you can get investing ideas here if you are interested in being a little more advanced like Danny is. He sits here and listens to all these podcasts. That's where he's getting his ideas. Kind of scared to know.
Yeah, well, you guys can thank yourselves for kind of shelving this onto me. I've worked here for a while, and it took me almost 2 years to finally pull the trigger. So, again, it's not easy.
Okay, yeah. So that's true of all of you out there. If you've been thinking a while that, hey, I want to invest, maybe now's the time. So be sure to do that and tune into the other podcasts. Like I said, we're on Apple Podcasts, and you can also get the Value Investor Podcast, which is a little bit focused on more long-term investing and value stocks. That's also on Apple Podcasts, and we're both on SoundCloud with both of those shows. So be sure to tune in.